Hey everyone, this is Todd Henry from the Accidental Creative Podcast. Over the next 9 weeks, we're going to be working through a series on my 2013 book, Die Empty. Each week, we're going to talk about one principle and how it applies to life and work and how we can unleash our best work every day as creative pros. Now, some of these episodes are going to be publicly available, just like this one. Some of them are going to be reserved just for AC Premium subscribers. So if you want to join AC Premium, support the show, go to acpremium.me. And there you can subscribe and get this entire series. Also, if you want a workbook for this series, just go to accidentalcreative.com/subscribe and we'll send you a workbook to help you follow along. Let's dive in. Hey friends, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. If you're new to the show, my name is Todd Henry. I am an author, I am a consultant, and I work with creative professionals to help them be prolific, brilliant, and healthy in life and in work. I've written 5 books, The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, which we're going to talk about today and over the next several weeks, Louder Than Words, which is about developing your voice, Herding Tigers, which is about what creative people need from their leaders, and the new book, The Motivation Code, available wherever books are sold. Over the next 9 weeks, as I just said, we're going to be working through a principle each week from my book, Die Empty. Now, this book was designed to help people understand places where they might be stuck, places where unknowingly they have settled in some way, in life and in work. And the reality is we can't parse life and work. You know, we often like to think of our life as a series of hermetically sealed airtight compartments. I've got my work life, I've got my private life, I've got my financial life, I've got my spiritual life, I've got my emotional life, I've got my relational life. We tend to think of our life as a series of airtight compartments. The reality is you sit at the center of every single one of those commitments. And if one of them goes awry, then it's going to affect everything else. If you are not capable of bringing energy in any area of your life, you're going to be incapable of bringing energy in every area of your life. They all affect one another. And you sit at the center. So the most important thing for us as creative pros is to take a couple of steps back every so often and ask, okay, how am I approaching life and work? Am I doing it in a meaningful way? Am I structuring my life in such a way that I'm positioned to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy? And are there any areas of my life where maybe I am settling in? Are there any traps I'm falling into? Listen, we're all intelligent people. We're all capable people. We're probably all ambitious people. We all want to produce great work, to contribute great value, to build a body of work that we can be proud of. But the reality is there are forces, hidden forces, that affect our ability to do that. And we make agreements unknowingly often with certain factors, certain forces in our life that cause us to settle in. And those agreements become ruts. So over this next 9 weeks, we're going to work through one of those ruts each week, one of those pitfalls that we can fall into. And we're going to talk very tactically about how we can navigate out of it. All of these principles we're going to talk about come from my 2013 book called Die Empty, Unleash Your Best Work Every Day. Now, this book, the title sounds morbid. It's not. I'm going to explain to you in a minute where that title came from and what it means. And today we're going to set up the core premise behind the book. We're going to talk about the three kinds of work and why it's important that we engage in each of those three kinds of work every single day in order to position us to be able to produce a body of work that we're proud of. Now, this book, Die Empty, has caught on in parts of the world where I've never even been. It actually was the number one selling audiobook in the world for a period of a handful of weeks several years ago. It definitely has resonated. And I think a big part of why it's resonated is because of the story behind the title. So let me tell you a little bit about how the title Die Empty came to be. So several years ago, wow, about 17, 18 years ago now, I was in a meeting and we were discussing a very big project. We were trying to talk about strategy for a big project that the organization was working on. And the person leading the meeting, I think, could kind of sense that this was a very nerve-wracking, risky-feeling project that we were about to embark on. And so he as he was speaking to us, he said, let me ask you a question. What do you think is the most valuable land in the world? And he was quoting the late Miles Monroe, which I came to find out later. He was quoting the late Miles Monroe. He said, what do you think is the most valuable land in the world? And, you know, we were all kind of stunned by the question. I mean, we weren't really expecting it. And so, you know, some guesses were thrown out. Oil fields of the Middle East, wrong. Gold mines of South Africa, wrong. Manhattan, wrong, right? So we threw out all of these guesses, and the person leading the meeting said, you're all wrong. The most valuable land in the world is the graveyard. Because in the graveyard are buried all of the unwritten novels, all of the untaken risks, all of the unlaunched businesses, all of the unexecuted ideas, all of the things that people carried around with them, the ideas that they carried with them their entire life. And they said, you know, tomorrow I'm going to get around to that. Tomorrow's the day I'm going to start on that project. Tomorrow's the day I'm going to make that phone call. Tomorrow's the day I'm going to launch that business. Tomorrow's the day I'm going to reconcile with my long lost loved one. They put it off and they put it off and they put it off until one day they reach the bookend of their life and all of that value is buried with them dead in the ground, never to be seen by human eyes. That's why it's the most valuable land in the world, because all of that value is buried with them, the value they never got around to acting on. And so that day I went back to my office and I wrote two words on an index card. I put them on the wall of my office and I put them in my notebook. And those two words were die empty, because I committed that day I was not going to take my best work to the grave. I was going to do everything I can every single day to put that work into the world where it can be of use to others. And this is an important thing for us to consider. Listen, your work does not exist for your own sake. All of the gifts, all of the abilities, the aptitudes, the talents, the perceptions, the insights, the intuition that you have do not exist to serve you. They exist to serve other people who will be blessed by those intuitions, gifts, actions, by the value that you create. You see, every place in our life where we add value in any capacity, I don't care if it's your job, I don't care if it's your family and how you know, interact with, lead within your family, I don't care if it's how you tip the barista at Starbucks, right? It doesn't matter. Every place where you add value in your life funnels up into a body of work. And that body of work stands as a testament to your time on this planet. And at some point, any self-aware person begins to consider that body of work, points to that delta, points to that change that exists because we sucked air on this earth, and begins to ask, does that really represent me? Does that body of work truly represent what I'm capable of? Does it represent the sum of my greatest accomplishments or the sum of my greatest compromise? Have I settled in, or am I building the body of work I am capable of building? And this, friends, this is the question. Don't miss this. This is the question that we each need to ask ourselves consistently. Am I building the body of work I'm capable of building, or am I settling in? Am I building a body of work I will point to with pride and say, yes, that represents me well? Or are we building a body of work that is the sum of our greatest compromise? Because at some point we've made agreements, we've settled in, we've decided it's just not worth the effort to take the risk, to spend the energy, to pour ourselves into something that might fail anyway. So the question is this, are you, if you were, God forbid, if you were to die tomorrow, would you take your best work to the grave with you? Or are you doing everything you can each and every day to spend yourself in such a way that you can point to a body of work with pride? Now, listen, I know that sounds like self-help pablum. I know it does. I recognize that. You know, I myself am averse to things that smack of self-help, right? I am. And at the same time, there are principles here that we need to adopt and live out in our lives as creative pros, or we will eventually end up with a compromised body of work. Now, when I talk about work, I'm not just talking about your job. Again, how you do anything is how you do everything. How you engage your life and your personal life and your friendships and your how you serve others, how you spend your money, all of that is tied up very closely with what you do in your day-to-day work at your job. You cannot parse those constituent components of your life. If you don't approach your life with meaning and purpose, with a clear set of values and a clear sense of who you are and what you're trying to do in this world, it's going to affect every other area of your life. Are you building a body of work that you'll be able to point to with pride? So several years ago, I was wrestling with this. I really was. I was very busy. I was very active, but I was struggling to make progress on the things that mattered most. And I wrote on a post-it note. I still remember I wrote on a post-it note, can I lay my head down tonight satisfied with the work I did today? And I put it in a place where I would see it every single day. And every day I challenged myself to be able to answer that question in the affirmative. Yes, I can lay my head down tonight satisfied with the work I did today. But the reality is we get so busy, we get so distracted, and we start to feel trapped by all of our commitments. It feels like we're pushing a wall forward an inch at a time instead of making meaningful progress on our work. And one of the reasons this happens, and this is the strange irony of doing creative work, is that success can actually become the harbinger of complacency, which then becomes the harbinger of settling in and of mediocrity in our life. And so the strange twist, the strange irony is we can actually succeed our way into failure because we figure out something that works and then we optimize our life around that thing that works and we settle in. But the reality is if we're not adapting and growing and changing, as we're going to talk about in coming weeks, and developing new skills and steeling our mindset and asking important questions, we can settle in and we can actually become mediocre in our life and never even know it. We can succeed our way into failure. And everyone around us looks at us and says, hey, look at that person. Look what they're doing. Look how amazing the work is that they're doing. They're really knocking it out of the park. But inside, we know that we've settled in. Now, when I talk about this word mediocrity, this is something I often share in this talk. When I give this talk to senior executives or to organizations or conferences, this word mediocrity comes from two words in the original language. Medius, meaning middle, and ochreous, meaning rugged mountain. So to be mediocre literally means to stop halfway up a rugged mountain, to get halfway to your objective and say, nah, close enough. I'm going to settle in. Right? Why do so many bright, sharp, talented, amazing, driven people settle medius ochreous? Why does that happen? Well, there are seven core reasons I've identified. And again, we're going to talk about one of those reasons each week over the next 7 weeks. And then we're going to do a little recap at the end. But I think it's important for us to recognize there are actually three kinds of work that we have to do every day in order to confront the stress and the pressure that comes with success, the stress and the pressure that comes with accolades, that comes with rewards that we receive for our work. Because again, those rewards reinforce what we've been doing, but they don't necessarily tell us what we need to do next. And so that's why success can be the harbinger of complacency. And complacency is the harbinger of mediocrity, medius ochreous, settling halfway up the rugged mountain. So we're going to talk about those three kinds of work today and how they play out in our life and how we can, specifically how we can engage in each of those three kinds of work. And then as I mentioned, over the coming weeks, we're going to talk about one of those core principles each week that we can analyze and be mindful of and then adopt some core practices to help us deal with. Okay, so we're going to talk about those three kinds of work and we're going to talk about how they play out in our life in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know about today's sponsors. This episode is sponsored in part by Voices. So Voices is the world's number one creative services marketplace with over 2 million registered users. Since 2005, the biggest and most beloved brands have entrusted Voices to help them find professionals to bring their projects to life. Listen, the working world has changed to include more virtual, remote, and hybrid work. And this is actually a very positive and powerful thing when it comes to completing projects and elevating your brand. Do you know that feeling of stress when you need something for a project and the deadline is coming up quickly and you don't have it? Well, the future of work is freelance, and Voices is expanding the services offered on its platform to help you meet all of your creative project needs in one place. You know you'll get the voiceover, translation, audio production, and music composition services you need quickly when you use Voices. And you get high-quality responses from highly skilled talent in just a few hours, sometimes even in minutes, when you post your job. And by the way, there's no risk. Voices make sure there's no risk at all when you hire talent. With the exclusive SurePay service, your funds are only released once the final files have been delivered and you've given your seal of approval. When you hire for your creative needs using Voices, you never have to pay to post your job. And when you do post your job, you get quotes that fit your budget with custom responses. With over 100 languages and accents to choose from, working with Voices gives you access to the diversity you need to make waves with your target audiences. So visit voices.com and post your job today. Again, that's voices.com and post your job today. This episode is also sponsored in part by BetterHelp. Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? Is there anything that's interfering with your sense of happiness? Check out betterhelp.com/accidental. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. And listen, this is not a crisis line. This is not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. You can send a message to your counselor anytime and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room, especially right now. Most of us don't want to have to go someplace and sit in a waiting room, right? BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. Listen, it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. It's also available worldwide. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/accidental. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/accidental. Okay, friends, let's talk about the three modes of working that we have to engage in every single day if we want to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy. The first one is what I call mapping. Mapping is planning. It's strategy. It's the work before the work. It's what you do to develop a course of action in your work. And we all need to do this. Hopefully we're doing this. If we sit down to do a project, we're sitting out first and assessing what are we going to need? When's it going to need to be done? What's going to be required? Who am I going to have to work with? What resources am I going to need? Hopefully you're doing that in the course of your work. We all have to do this in order to be effective in the face of uncertainty. The second kind of work is what I call making. Making is executing. It's actually doing the tasks. It's checking things off lists. It's making progress. Now, when most of us think about work, we think about these two modes. We think about mapping and making. We plan and we do. We strategize and we execute. And any great organizational theorist will tell you there are two arms of any great organization, strategy and execution. We plan and we do. We strategize and we execute. But there's a third mode of work that we often ignore. And when we ignore it, this is when we begin to slip into mediocrity. It's what I call meshing. Meshing is the work between the work. It's the little things that we do every single day to position us to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy. It's things like connecting deeply with a productive passion, which is what we're going to talk about in the next episode of this series. It's things like asking strategic questions, challenging assumptions, which I'm going to equip you to do in a couple of episodes from now. Things like continuous skill development, refusing to settle in to one of the phases of growth, but instead pushing through each of the four phases over and over and over again so that you're putting yourself outside of your comfort zone, you're stretching your capacity, and you're engaging your work in new ways. When this happens, it expands our perspective of what is possible. We're going to talk about that in a future episode as well. It's things like challenging places where maybe ghost rules and invisible narratives have slipped in, or delusional understandings of who we are and what we bring to the workplace have crept into our life. We're going to talk about that in the future. Things like confronting ego, confronting the desire to protect our turf, confronting the desire to play the victim, to point fingers at other people. We're going to talk about that. Things like ensuring that fear does not paralyze us. Now, there is a healthy amount of sort of reactive fear, things like I probably ought not jump off a building, right? Like I have a fear of going splat on the ground. That's not unhealthy. That's actually probably relatively healthy because it keeps us in a place of relative safety, right? But there's an unhealthy kind of psychological fear that paralyzes us. We become afraid of what's lurking in the shadows, if you will, when we're doing creative work. And so we're going to talk about the differences between the kinds of fear that we experience, fear of success, fear of failure as well, and how we can deal with that in an upcoming part of this series. And then guardedness. Guardedness is when we become closed off to other people. It's when we're not relationally connecting with others. We're not asking meaningful questions. When we're not positioning ourselves to be stoked and inspired by other people. Okay, so these are examples of meshing activity. It's the stuff that we do to position us to be able to map and make more effectively. But listen, when we ignore meshing and only map and make, I call these people drivers. And there's a reason I call them drivers. It's because they will walk through you and the brick wall behind you to accomplish their objective. They map and they make, they map and they make, they plan and they do, but they're not positioning themselves to be effective. They're not asking the right questions. They're not developing their skill set to confront not just today's difficulties, but tomorrow's difficulties. So they, over time, they begin to become increasingly efficient at doing decreasingly effective things. They're getting a lot done, but as we mentioned earlier, success is often the harbinger of complacency, which leads to mediocrity. They succeed their way into failure. They're successful in the micro, but they're a failure in the macro because they've lost sight of what it is they're really trying to do. Does that resonate at all with you? I have walked senior executive teams through these principles, and we've talked about how they apply on a macro level to the organization and also to their life as leaders. And I've walked entire companies through these principles, and we've identified places where the organization has established systems that are directly contributing to people settling into one of these seven areas. And it's really ironic because what we say often as leaders, as managers, people who are trying to create change within an organization, what we say does not line up with the expectations that we set for the organization. So what we reward is directly contradictory to the principles that we say we're living out. This is a real problem. Because it's not what you say that's going to be accomplished, it's what you reward that's going to be done within your organization. So we need to make sure that we're stepping back and we're looking at each of these seven areas we're going to talk about over the coming weeks, that we make sure that we're mapping, we're making, and we have some meshing time established, that we're not only saying it, but that as an organization, we're actually reinforcing the importance of people engaging in these kinds of meshing activities, and we institutionalize that, and we reward it. We talk about it and we reward it organizationally because that's how it's going to get done. Okay. The reason we don't engage in these meshing activities that we're going to talk about is because they feel very inefficient in the moment. They do. You know, it's very difficult to measure things like asking questions about assumptions when really what we need to do is just get the project done and get it to the client. It's really inefficient, or it feels inefficient in the moment to say, hold on, I want to put a break on this. Let's stop and let's ask some challenging questions here. No. Are you kidding? We've got another project coming up in a week and a half. We've got to deliver that as well. Like we don't have time to stop and to ask these inconvenient questions. And so what do? We continue to move through our work instead of engaging our work effectively. All right, so mapping, making, meshing. We're going to spend the next several weeks talking about each of those seven areas, those pitfalls, and some meshing activities that can help us stay out of it. Now, again, if you want every one of these episodes in the series, visit acpremium.me and subscribe to AC Premium. It's $45 a year. And you'll get all of the bonus episodes as well as ad-free versions of every single episode of the Axon Creative Podcast. So I encourage you to go to acpremium.me if you would like to join. But regardless of that, you're going to get several of these over the next several weeks. And they're going to be broken up a bit by a couple of interviews and a couple other things I have on the editorial calendar as well. But the important thing is, friends, listen, engage your work every single day in such a way that you can point to your body of work with pride. Do not take your best work to the grave with you. Too many people are filled with regret over not having treated life more purposefully. Okay? So you don't have to do a mad dash. I'm not talking about collapsing over the finish line every day. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying, make sure you're organizing and engaging your life in such a way that when you lay your head down each night, you can feel like you have worked and lived with purpose. That's all I'm talking about. You're never going to get everything done, but make sure that you're engaging with the things that matter. Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. Would love to hear from you there, or at accidentalcreative.com. Again, jump on the email list at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. You'll get a workbook to help you work through this series. Also, acpremium.me is where you can get every episode in this series. The Axon Creative is part of the Airwave Media Network. Visit airwavemedia.com for more great shows like this. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.